Lord, take and consecrate our lives to love you and our neighbor. Amen. Please be seated. I am just back yesterday, and I'm joined by Jim and Carol, Carol Sprague, Jim Carnegie, and Alice Moss as our delegates to the annual Diocesan Convention. Yay! Come on, let's hear it. It's always fun to see a whole bunch of Episcopalians singing together, praying together, learning together. So it is always a good experience, and I encourage anyone to run as a delegate or just show up anytime, but you'll have to wait a whole year. So get out your phones and make that date. It's always the last weekend in October. All right. Also, the last weekend in October this year is a very special event being celebrated, no doubt, by our Lutheran neighbors across the street. Does anybody know what this weekend is? Who? Yes, Caleb.
500th anniversary of the Reformation.
The 500th anniversary of Martin Luther doing something with 95 theses. The legend is he nailed them onto the door of the cathedral. There's some dispute about whether he actually could have done that because pushpins had not been invented yet. But anyway, 95 theses, and I was thinking of reading them to you, but it would have taken quite a while, and most of them are really anti-Pope in a way that is not necessarily helpful today. So anyway, the Reformation. What happened at the Reformation? People were encouraged, among other things, to get to know God as their own friend, not to have to pay for somebody to say masses for you, but to actually talk to God yourself, can you imagine? And part of the Reformation included having the Bible in your own language, having the prayers in your own language, being able to come to communion, all sorts of things that spun out of 500 years ago, October 31st. So maybe I'll dress up as Luther for Halloween, a la that portrait by Hans Holbein, you know, with the floppy hat on and several chins I put back on. Anyway, happy 500th anniversary, especially to Lutherans and others who were affected by the Reformation, like us. The ability to start to reason with Scripture and not just have somebody read it to you, but wrestle with it, I think lies at the heart of who we are as Episcopalians. And really, Jesus, in this somewhat puzzling gospel, is challenging the Pharisees, as he has with the Sadducees and the scribes and the elders in our previous lessons, to grapple with what does the law mean? What does a commandment to love God and love your neighbor mean? And it's a wrestling that never really stops, because we will always come up against times when we are challenged to love God and to love neighbor as ourselves. How do we love all of our neighbors as ourselves was probably the theme of our diocesan convention, would you say, Carol? We were given strong words by preachers and our bishop to say, look, taking other people's lives that you don't understand as something less than yours is not cool as Episcopalians or any kind of Christians. We are really challenged to think about privileges that white people have, challenges that other cultures and colors have in their lives, and to try to think about what is it that that WASPs, I'm one, take for granted. There was an interesting article left out on a table for us to pick up if we wanted, called The Invisible Knapsack of White Privileges. Did you pick that up? And it was written 30 years ago by a student, probably a doctoral student, and it was fascinating and sad to see how many things really haven't changed. So I thought I would give you a taste of it. I packed a visible knapsack with some of the items that were listed in that knapsack of privileges. For instance, from today's newspaper, House Envy. Ooh, this one's in Grosse Pointe. It is on the lake, Lakeshore Drive. It is a French provincial, just 3.5 million. That's all. But I'm not so much shocked by the by the price. I mean, I know such places exist. But if I had the money, if I won the lottery, could buy this house, I could move in there and not have my neighbors raise eyebrows. I could shop nearby and not have anyone look at me askance. Because, well, I'm white. Other things in my book of my knapsack of privilege. Flesh-colored Band-Aids. Some people in this room, this is not your flesh color. The option seems to be cartoon characters on Band-Aids if you don't want this color. That hasn't changed. What else is in here? A children's Bible. Look at this lovely children's Bible. It was presented by her priest to Emily Catherine Williams on her baptism. Who was your priest? I was. And every person in here is Lily White. I'm glad to say Jesus does not seem to have blonde hair, but many of the disciples are redheads. Just don't think so. In fact, there was an alarming statistic quoted to us that of children's books published recently, only 14% features a non-white main character. Children's books. What does this tell us? Hasn't changed much. And if you're a child reading a book, unless you stock your entire family's collection with animal stories, you know, we want our children to see there's a diversity in God's creation. Diversity is good in God's creation. All right, just a couple more things. What's in my wallet? What's in my wallet? My driver's license. I've never been pulled over for doing nothing bad. I had been pulled over, but I did do something bad. Some of our colleagues have told horrifying stories of being pulled over for DWB, which is driving while black. Black person in a nice car, must have stolen that. One of my colleagues who wrote a book about it, his son, who is a doctor, was pulled over 6 times just in recent memory for driving a nice car, and once put in jail for resisting arrest. What else is in here? Credit card. I did not have any trouble getting credit. I can use it at a hotel where I don't have any trouble. I can use it at a nice restaurant where I don't have any trouble. I can walk into a store at Somerset and not get looked at funny, not have people follow me wondering what I'm doing in there. They might look at me funny because I don't dress up when I go to Somerset and I don't wear heels, but not because of what the other ways I look. So these challenges were not meant to beat us over the head. Well, maybe a little bit. Felt a little bit like that for those of us who've never had to really think about what's in our wallet, what's in our invisible knapsack. And yet there was good news, which is that, first of all, we are not destined to be blind. We can open our eyes to who our neighbors are, and we can talk to people who are not exactly like us and say, what is it like to be judged in this, and what can I do to help? What can I do to give up my self-understanding that is that it makes a difference, that there's some kind of DNA for being white and affluent and being held up as being the best one? We got some history about the Puritans and how they managed to infect the thinking of America from the get-go of who was the best ones in America. And to say, no, this country was meant to be diverse. That is our strength. That has been how God blessed America. And when we start to lose that understanding and listen to the voices that would take that away, we got to get ourselves back in order. The other good news that we heard is the news of the cross. Because what people wanted to do to Jesus, similarly what we sometimes hear shouted today, is violence. Violence to other people. And it masquerades sometimes as other things. The Women's Convention, decrying violence against women. And sometimes that gets acted out in prejudicial hirings, in inappropriate remarks, in being grabbed in inappropriate ways, or by being propositioned at work or in any place at all. Get your hands off me was a refrain, apparently. And that's for anyone, you know? That's about, don't assume anyone can be injured, harmed, propositioned, touched. So, when people grabbed Jesus, arrested him for challenging the status quo, arrested him for being who he was and preaching his message that God loves everyone, not only Pharisees, Sadducees, elders, God might even love the Romans. Yikes, that was very challenging. They did the ultimate violence to him, didn't they? They crucified him. That was the worst they could do. Why is crucifixion the worst? Well, it's complete humiliation. Think of all the ways some of our laws and some of our actions humiliate others. They humiliated him as badly as anyone could be humiliated. He didn't fight back. One of his disciples drew a sword. Remember that story? He said, put it away. Violence will never end violence. That goes for all sides of any debate. Violence will never end violence. And yet God brought resurrection out of the cross. Out of Good Friday was Easter. So the good news for us as church people is to live on the other side of that event. To say, no, we reject violence as an answer. We will walk with resurrection understanding, which is that God brings out of death and out of discouragement and out of inhumane treatment new life and new affirmation. It also means that those of us who take things for granted might have to stop taking them for granted and look at how some privileges need to be shared. All privileges are for all people. It's a privilege to be alive, is it not? It's a privilege to have God in our lives. It is a privilege to be here as a community. And we want more people in on that privilege, right? How do we make this a place for everyone and know that God loves everyone in this place and not only in this place, out there too? This is a challenge for all of us, no matter what our skin color, to be aware, to call out the things we can change, and to love each person, learning from them how that is appropriate. So we were left with a challenge at that convention, but also hope that some things in our churches have changed. That headlines in the newspapers are not only about white people, but also about black leaders. In this community, that is, we're doing well. Detroit papers, yeah. They're our last community. Mm-mm. And wherever we go to say, you know, this photo, this ad, this isn't complete. How can we complete this picture? This book in my library, this thing I want to give to my child isn't complete. I need to do better. This Bible story in our classroom, it isn't right. We can do better. And in that doing better, we hear Jesus' voice. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ourselves are pretty good, and so are our neighbors. In the name of Jesus. Amen.